AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on another big night of European action. It's now the turn of Hibs and Dundee United to fly the flag for Scotland against Partizan Belgrade and Rapid Vienna. Dust begins to settle on Rangers Euro success as attention turns back towards domestic matters and Scott McTominay, a Scottish player, is nominated for the Ballon d'Or. Joining me tonight, two players who presumably just missed out over their illustrious careers, Stephen Naismith and Gordon Deal.
Well,
how are you?
Well, I'll tell you who a better chance of winning it, and it was certainly not me. Delighted that Stephen's joined us tonight. Yeah, Gordon, you're right. After you know, Rangers' terrific result and performance, you've got to say, you're looking at Dundee United and Hibs now flying the flag for the Scottish clubs away from home, both of them, so hoping to bring back good results.
That was very revealing, though. This is the first time ever that we've put you next to somebody you've got no choice but to admit that they were better than you, because usually you would just fake it.
I couldn't even bluff it. I couldn't get away with it.
There we go. How are you, Stephen? Good to have you.
Aye, really good. Just back from a summer holiday.
I can
so
see that.
All nice.
A bit of bronzed. Where were you?
Just in Tenerife.
That's all right, isn't it? Just lying low.
The sun.
Yeah.
Just warm weather training camp.
That's what happens when you get a few shekels. We've got to sit here and work. This guy just goes on holiday.
Still enjoying life out of football, or getting an itch to get back, or what's the status?
It's not really changed. I think it's more about the right job and the right opportunity, whether that be a coach, whether that be the top job or a different role. That's the way I've been since I left Hearts, and it's not really changed. I've enjoyed the family side of it, and also I think from going straight into a job quite quickly from when you retire, you lose a bit of that being able to go and see clubs, see in the background, learn. Doing a good bit of that, which has been really enjoyable.
You're definitely in your best behaviour, because the old you would have made a joke about there'll be a Partick Thistle vacancy in a few months.
No, I would never.
You're learning.
I would never say that. Not a few months, month. But I'll tell you what, you can tell a football manager's out of a job, because we were chatting before we come on here. His handicap's right down. So there's a lot of time spent in the golf course.
You've got to spend your time wisely. Anyway, 0141-951-1025. How are you all? What you got for us tonight? Give us a call and let us know. It's only day two after Rangers win the other night, and there was so much to get through, and the phones were mobbed last night. So I suspect we can revisit some of that in terms of players that impressed you, things that stood out, the improvement in the performance from the weekend. Obviously, there was big decisions to be made and big comments made over the weekend. Stephen obviously played with Russell Martin for club and country as well, so we'll get his thoughts there. So all your day two fallout from Ibrox, if you will, get that over to us right now, please. 0141-951-1025. Celtic fans, you have made a signing this week, but I get the impression you're at that stage where every day you're just hoping for something more, particularly maybe wide areas, attacking areas. So how are you feeling on that front tonight? Again, give us a call, same number. What about Scott McTominay? He'd been nominated for the Ballon d'Or. How good is that? First Scott, certainly in my lifetime. These two, well, certainly the one on the end, a lot older than me, maybe seen this before. But what a nice accolade, what a nice piece of recognition. Caroline Weir, incidentally, nominated for the women's equivalent as well. So get your thoughts in there if you've got any. Whilst we're on the subject, did I just see John McGinn subject to bids maybe to try and get his services elsewhere? We've got the Motherwell manager speaking about, you guessed it, Lennon Miller's future. So there's so much to get through tonight, and as if that's not enough, two huge games, Dundee United against Rapid Vienna, or away to Rapid Vienna, and Hibs taking on Partizan Belgrade. So we'll build up to those games. It feels like particularly Dundee United got a real tough ask, Stephen. Would that be fair? Would Hibs have more of a chance?
Yeah, but I think people probably not knowing much recent times of Partizan Belgrade will think they're a tough ask as well. But they went through four managers last season. Mm-hmm. They've in a bit of transition. So I do think Dundee United will have the tougher of tasks. But see, for any of the teams, there's that many games in this short period. It is a big ask, regardless of who you're playing. But as St Mirren and Kilmarnock showed last season, they can get through. And if you get a wee bit of luck, I think you can make it as far as the group stages.
He's even done his homework for Partizan Belgrade. He's
I'm taking that on board just in case it comes up.
Who are the four managers again?
Oh, they're terrible.
I'll not tell you that.
If you've got that, mate, you're top.
That's impressive.
Anyway, don't forget, as we've done all of this week, everyone that calls in tonight, so if you just come on, make a point to the panel, you're into the hat for a pair of tickets to Ayr Racecourse's Sounds of Summer Race Night this Saturday. And we've been building up all week. We've decided to take it up a notch. So tonight it's a pair of Legends Lounge tickets. So you've got reserved seating, arrival drink, race card, private bar, betting facilities, tipster talk, even a bit of food thrown in there as well, a hot pie to keep you going. So sounds like a good prize. And all you need to do is come on and make a point to the panel. You're in the hat anyway. So it's all good. A win-win situation. 01419511025. Let's go straight in then with Billy, who's on the line. How are you, Billy?
How you doing, lads?
Good. What have you got for us?
Big day here. I see people bleating about selling them. I don't understand it. Start of the season, you've been out. If you're lying last season, through this season, you've been outstanding. You could put the tools away because you want to transfer the boy. And they're on every blade of grass. His movement was outstanding. He could do apparently kick. His layoffs. He could have, to me, if sell him for £5-6 million, it'd be a joke with Rangers sell him. I mean, because he would be my number nine all this season, quite honestly.
Well, Gordon, you're a fully paid up member of the fan club. You've explained that many times. So, Stephen, I'll put it to you. Cyril Dessers' part in the other night and where he finds himself generally.
Yeah, well, I think Russell Martin spoke after the game about it, saying that he's just not been had enough pre-season, so he's still getting to his speed. He spoke as if he did value him. I've liked him. I think to score the goals he has, I think a big bit that was highlighted last season was none of his teammates were scoring that much, or there was over-reliance on him. So see, when he missed a big chance and Rangers dropped points, if they slaughtered Dessers, when really, in the squads I was in, if Boyd, Kenny Miller, Jelovic didn't score, I might score, or a midfielder might score, which then that isn't an issue. I think that's where he's fell into that trap, and he was a decent money signing. But I agree, he's the best forward at the club at the moment, and I think he gives you a lot. He gives you goals, but the all-round work ethic and abilities, very valuable for me.
Sell him or keep him for you, Gordon?
Price dependent, Gordon. I wouldn't be letting him go out the building for, say, £1 million or something like that. I know what Billy's saying, £5 million at his age, I think Rangers would consider that 100%.
I think it'd be hard to replace, though, because, and I don't mean to be cruel to the person I'm going to mention, but, well, Danilo cost more than that.
Yeah.
So that you could spend it on, you know, on that level of output. When, when you've got somebody there that you, not guaranteed, but you do kind of know what you're
Listen, Dessers, I think Stephen's right. He's the best centre forward in the club. He's scored 50 plus goals in two seasons. He does take a little bit of criticism because he misses a few chances, but I love a centre forward that's in the position to miss them, first and foremost. I just think he brings everything to Rangers. I really do. You look at him the other night, you look at him when he come on against Motherwell. Mm-hmm. The one thing, he come on with that enthusiasm, that work rate, everything about it. You look at him the other night, what a difference. Absolutely brilliant for me. The front three were, to be fair. But look, I think that players always have a price, right? I would hate to see him go if I was Rangers, because you're right. If you're going to challenge, the one thing you need is a goal scorer, right? Somebody will bag you 20-plus goals every season. If Dessers plays most of the games next year, I'll guarantee you he'll bag you 20-plus goals. That's what he's got in his locker. But it just depends on the price
tag. I think the way the style of play now will help him. He'll get more chances to score goals in this team than he has in the
past. Is that because of the way there is in the pace? And
I think so, and the directness, and the way that the style of play is, where you're effectively breaking through teams and getting good opportunities, and he's not having to do a lot of work to get the good chances. He just needs to be in the right area, and he's shown that.
Billy, do you think he will stay? How do you see that playing out?
I definitely think he will stay, because he's got a good wage anyway. And this is, Gordon says £5 million. It may be funny, Mo, you're talking about 10. I know the age and all that, but see the goals, a guy can buy 30 goals in that league. It's tried and tested. That's the difference between the one in the league and the one in the league. Playing in Europe a bit longer as well. You get that for £5 million back at the end of the season, every side there.
Yeah, well, because the comment at the weekend, Russell Martin said he's the only player we've received a bid for. It felt like that was actually aimed at everyone else, really, you know, in terms of...
Well, we know where it was aimed.
Yeah, of course. But what I mean is, what maybe got lost in that was confirmation from Russell Martin that Cyril Dessers is wanted, how much is he wanted. I think there is a delicate balance there, because you said, you know, every player's got their price. You wonder how far Rangers could realistically push that price because of his age profile. And so maybe all round you are as well, just keeping him.
I would certainly keep him. And I think, Stephen, if it was back in management and they had Dessers, the one thing you don't want to lose is your top goal scorer. Mm-hmm. It's as simple as that. Listen, we keep hearing from Celtic fans, Celtic's never replaced Kyogo. They brought in Adam Ida at £9 million, not replaced Kyogo. Maeda, for me, I think, done a terrific job, went up there, banged in the goals and got player of the year. But it's very hard and it's difficult, no matter how much money you've got, to go and get a guy that'll play centre forward and guarantee you goals. I think they've got one in the building in Dessers. I think he'll guarantee you goals. He's shown that in his last two seasons. I certainly wouldn't be rushing to put him out. But if a crazy bid come in, I don't think that £10 million will come in, let me tell you that. But if a crazy bid come in for him, then sometimes clubs just look at that.
The only part that you do... Rangers have been criticised for hanging on to players or not selling players at the right time. So from a club point of view, that's going to sit there. And from a Dessers point of view, if a bid has come in, if somebody's going to double his wage or triple his wage, that he's not going to just sit back and... First thing he'll be doing is champ the door saying, right, show me what you used to value me at. So that element could be there as well.
I suppose, though, has the last couple of days maybe shown... Just not that it was in doubt, but publicly what the manager thinks of him, because I think maybe you go game to game at the moment, you don't have a lot to base things on. So you see that he doesn't start the Panathinaikos games. He did start the Middlesbrough friendly, but he came off at half time. But Russell Martin explaining that, you know, that was kind of injury related and he's been a wee bit behind. Certainly for the next couple of weeks, then, you know, assuming he's here, is that him? He's in number one. You don't really see him just playing second fiddle to Danilo going forward.
No, I don't think so. I think there'll be. Again, he said about changing players game on game, and I think if you look at Russell at previous clubs, he does do that. He does change players, and the freshness, especially at the top end of the pitch, is so important for what he wants to do. So I think, but if you're Danilo, you have had the opportunities, and it's one of those. If Danilo's bagged in every game he's played, then this conversation isn't as relevant. It's because he's probably not performed or not contributed when he needs to, and Dessers has looked better at it, so I would imagine he will come in.
Because he scored a couple in pre-season, Gordon Danilo, and it got people wondering, maybe, you know, maybe this is it, maybe it's a pre-season under his belt, which he didn't get, he can stay injury free, maybe this is it, maybe you're going to start to see it, but it feels already like it's quite clear who's in the driving seat out of the two.
Yeah, it feels, if Ickermann was in, you know, fit and playing, which he's not, he's been left out of a few games, I think Danilo, to me, is sliding down the pecking order again. I think he's going back to where he was. I think it was a great opportunity for him. Dessers wasn't up to speed. And I think Stephen's right. If you get that opportunity as a centre forward, the way you keep your position is score a few goals. Start getting into the manager's head. Listen, I'm the guy now. There's a fresh start under a new manager. I'm starting to score goals. I like the system. I like the way things are going here. But Danilo's not proved that. So I don't see Danilo sort of being a big threat this season. I thought it could have been a good season for him. But right now, and I know what you're saying about Russell Martin with Tates, I'd be very surprised after the performance the other night that, come Ibrox, that front three doesn't start.
What else impressed you the other night, Billy? Because I know we're very knee-jerk in this part of the world, but it was only Monday. We were getting all sorts of criticism on the phones, and now things have changed a bit.
I thought the new signing boy, I mean, I thought he was outstanding, the boy. Why he just took on players, basically, and I mean, made the game simple. Came looking for the ball as well. I thought he did a great game. Yeah.
Do you know what I liked, for just from a neutral perspective, not really caring particularly about Antman or Rangers, just blown apart this notion that you need to come in and then you need to meet everybody and then you need to train and then you need to move house and then, you know, just go out there and.
Sometimes that's the best way. Just get straight into it. You experience a game, you experience the atmosphere, and. And when and the team start well. I think that for any player, that's a big. See, if you start well, especially at a team with a demand, it becomes really enjoyable, and he certainly looked as if he was enjoying himself.
He looks a decent player, doesn't he? Good pace, everything about him. Good quality when he gets into the mm-hmm. final third. You're right, he was just thrown in there in a big game at Ibrox in front of your home fans, and you're thinking, right, okay, I'm going to get judged very quickly here. And to be fair to him, he handled it brilliantly. He looks like a real, real top yeah. signing for me. I know it's still early, let's not get carried away, but he definitely looks like a real good signing.
Because you were on Tuesday, so we were dealing with this whole debate before the game about who would play. Then the team news came in. I think we were all...
Raskin was a big one
shocked,
for us.
Yeah. Not shocked, but aware that these were big calls. Mm-hmm. You know, having left here and gone and watched it, obviously, I mean, it works on the night.
Yeah, but see, when you boil it all down, we were focused on the captain Tavernier. We were focused on Raskin. Right, two big players for Rangers. And you're thinking, right, Russell Martin's made big calls there. But also, it was a big call to put Antman in the fact mm-hmm. that he's hardly in the country, he's hardly in the building, he's hardly trained, and he believed that he was good enough to get into that game, especially at home, with a bit of pressure on after the weekend's game against Motherwell. We know what like it is when you go out there and you don't start, maybe 15 minutes, you've not had a great start, you can start to hear them coming from the stands. But fair play to him. Russell Martin made big decisions. It worked brilliantly for him. And obviously, the lad was terrific on the night.
Well, thank you to Billy Higgins into the hat for the tickets to Air Races as well, alongside Sean, who joins us on the other line. How are you, Sean?
Hi, I'm fine. Thanks very much, Gordon.
What have you got for us tonight, then? What made you call?
Basically, obviously, a Scottish player has been nominated for one of the most prestigious prizes in European football. I just think tonight should be, the show should really show themselves in a good face and really promote Scott McTominay and how well he's done.
Go for it, you lead the charge.
Well, basically he's becoming an Italian winner. He's also probably Scotland's most pivotal player. He was discarded over, about 16 months ago from his boyhood team, Man United. What about that for progression? We can't complain. We're normally harsh on our own country's players, but I think tonight should be about giving him some credit for actually knuckling down and look at the standard he's set.
Oh, I don't mind that at all. It's a great story. 30-man shortlist, first Scottish men's player to make it since Ali McCoist to finish 21st in 1987. I take it you must have overlapped a fair bit at the start of his Scotland career.
Yeah, I was there as a coach
as well. So
I must say the first thing I really noticed about, see the size of him, and then when you get on the pitch, his range when he's running, when he's got a stride on, he's just huge. But then on top of that, his ability, and I think even when he was at Man United, I think it's playing with Fletch and seeing how tough it is at Man United and how expectations that high and there's no real forgiveness. I always thought it was really tough for MD to get through, but Scott McTominay does it. He does it at a time where the club's really turbulent. He sticks in there, becomes a bit of a scapegoat at times and when Man United weren't winning. But see, he was laser focused and he had a real belief, I thought, a confidence without no arrogance, just confidence that he knows what it takes to do well as a professional. Brilliant. I think they're pivotal moments. He could have sat at Man United and goes, no, I'm just going to stay, I love this, settled at home, everybody's close by, great club, paid well. But he's like, nah, if I'm not playing regular, I want to go. And he does it, and as you've said, becomes a winner in Italy, becomes a cult hero, legend, and at the end of it, he's in the Ballon d'Or shortlist.
Because his style of football, you'd imagine that Italian football suits mm-hmm. him a lot better, because when you put his stats with Man United, Napoli, he's through the roof with his stats in every department. So it tells me that he's more comfortable playing in Italy than he was with Manchester United. I agree with you, he could have sat there, Manchester United, massive club, on decent money as well. He knows the surroundings, he lives there, his family, everything. He decided to go there. He's been absolutely brilliant. Now, he's one of these guys that he can play two or three positions. You know, we've seen him playing in Scotland, even filling in at
Centre-back, on the coaching staff.
Mm-hmm. So he's able to do that. He's able to adapt because I think he's got everything in his locker. And Sean's quite right to come on. Listen, we should embrace this. He's a Scottish international footballer. It's absolutely brilliant for him.
Absolutely.
Well done. Shows his intelligence, just to finish, that for him to be able to play centre-half, centre-mid, be a 10, shows that he's got a game awareness of everything. Mm-hmm. And also at Man United, coming through as a young player, you're always seen as a young player. I think the move, he's been a big signing, and he's relished that, thrived on that.
Yeah, well done to him. Well done to Caroline Weir, being on the women's shortlist as well. Thank you to Sean for raising it. It's a perfect time to call, because if you get in touch now, we'll do our best to get you on next.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
Tackle the headlines. 0141-951-1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Stephen Naismith and Gordon DL are here, so do give them a call. 0141-951-1025. Building up to kick off for our two European representatives tonight, Dundee United and Hibs. Be nice to hear from fans of those clubs. Maybe don't often get the chance to do that quite as much as clubs in this part of the country, so why not? Give us a shout. Any Dundee United fans think you can cause a big upset? What about you Hibs fans? You might be feeling a bit more confident just looking at the standing of the two sides, so why not give us a call? Scott McTominay, I nearly said won the Ballon d'Or there. That would be good, getting ahead of ourselves. Nominated for the Ballon d'Or. Still looking back on Rangers' performance the other night, because we didn't get through it all last night. The phone lines were so busy. And every caller who makes it through goes into the hat for a pair of tickets to Ayr Racecourse this Saturday as well. Legends Lounge tickets, no less. So give us your thoughts on all things football and beyond. Michael in Birmingham is going to go next. Michael.
Hello, lads. Good evening.
Hello. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you guys?
All good here. All good. What are you thinking?
Well, it's the old broken record. I'm a Celtic fan. And it's about Celtic transfer policy. If the board are not going to back Brendan Rodgers in terms of his identified players, and if you believe either Engels and Trusty were solely his signings, then I would agree with the board. But what is this Paul Tisdale doing? How is he earning cash at a Celtic?
Well, I mean, on that last point, obviously I don't know. Day to day, I don't know what the role looks like. But he's Celtic's head of football operations. And I do remember at the time, Stephen, thinking that it does seem like quite a wide-ranging role. Now, I think there is like talent ID and recruitment elements to that, but nowadays football clubs have got so many of these job titles. I suppose what I'm trying to say is I don't think he's the one man solely responsible for what Celtic are bringing in the transfer window.
I'd be surprised if one person is in general. I think every club's went away for that. I think the influence of individuals, Brendan Rodgers for instance, will have a lot of sway, I'd imagine, because of his success. But like you've alluded to there, it depends on recent signings, the amount of money that's went out for any club in school. Sorry.
But Stevie Rogers doesn't negotiate the prices.
No, but the process will be they'll obviously have their identified targets. They'll go down to a shortlist, and by the end of it, by that point, they must be at a conclusion that what they're going to pay, salary and transfer fee, must be in the realms of what we can accept as a club type thing.
Well, that's the criteria you set, isn't it? You know, we talk about the extreme examples of being Jamestown or whatever, Hearts. Now, truly, that criteria is all sort of in there to begin with.
Yeah, because if not, it's a waste of time.
You're not going to go, I like him. Oh, well, he's going to cost you 40 million. That's just,
it's a pipe dream.
He's not on your list, that
guy. Yeah, exactly. So I think all these decisions will be made by a group with the understanding that this is a realistic target. This is somebody who we can get. There might be targets that are maybe out with that, but the last week of the window might fall in because they've lost out in a move or another club's bought the player. But for a club, Celtic have been the benchmark, the way they've done it over recent years, and I think that plays a big part here, that they're not going to just because Brendan Rodgers has done so well and been successful, doesn't just give you free rein to go for whoever you want.
But you've got to say that Brendan Rodgers being the manager is, I totally agree, I don't think it's down to one person. But if you look at Ingles coming in at that price, you look at Adam Eder coming in at that price, you look at Trusty coming in around the £6 million, you would probably have to say that Brendan Rodgers was a big say in that, surely. Mm-hmm. A massive say. Do you know what I mean? It's not like they're bringing in development players that yep. he turns around and says, well, hold on a minute, they're a development player. It's not really where I'm looking to go. But when you're dealing in three players in the region of £26 million, round about that, then surely Brendan will have a, because of the standing that he's got, the trophies that he's won, the fact that Celtic as a club would love to keep him and mm-hmm. you know, as a manager and renegotiate his contract. So I would say at those prices and those type of players, I think Brendan would have a real big say in the matter.
So what's your theory in the break that in the situation, Michael, is that what, the recruitment team aren't doing enough, or Brendan Rodgers has been too fussy, or the money's not right? Where do you think it's falling down?
Well, it's falling down on Celtic lowballing clubs. Now, I'm going to ask Gordon and Stevie. You boys have both been in management. Now, if a club is chasing your player and they keep lowballing you, and it gets up to 11 o'clock at the last day of the window, what are you going to do as a manager? If you've still got use for the player that the buying club's chasing, you're going to hike the price, aren't you?
So you think Celtic are victims of that in terms of overpaying last season?
Absolutely. Eder and Engels were turned up in a black people carrier at 11 o'clock or something like that. And it's like, why leave it so late? Every other team in the league are bringing in first-team starters.
Yeah, but to be fair, I think Celtic in their position because of their financial situation, and Brendan Rodgers, I think they're going for higher calibre players, right? And sometimes you look at, as a business, they might get in for these players. The wages might be too high. The agent's fees have still to get added to that. The price of the player might go a little bit higher because the selling club will know that Celtic are wanting these types of players in, and they're upping the price. And now Celtic is a club, and they have, and Stephen's right, the benchmark, because they run their club very, very well. I know Celtic supporters, a lot of them ain't happy with the transfer situation just now. I take that on board because I don't think they've had a great transfer window up to date. But you just can't go out there and spend money. Like, people will say, look, they did it last year. Adam Eder. Is Adam Eder a £9 million player if you look at him? Absolutely not. But that's what happened.
11 o'clock on the
exactly. But listen, the selling team, Norwich, held out. And Celtic were in that situation where they had to go in and either say, yeah, we're taking them or we're not taking them. And they were prepared to pay the £9 million. Now, they might look at that situation and say, do you know what? We're not going to get caught in that again. We don't know what's going behind the scenes. They've probably been put in for a lot of players. But it doesn't, you know, I think the transfer window has been poor. I've got to say, I really do. I don't think it's up to scratch what Brendan Rodgers wants. But you've got to run your club like a decent business, and that's where
that's
I think
the
Celtic
conflict are. There, you've got the business side, and you've got, for any manager, for any fan, and any player within the squad, getting a move done earlier is the best thing you can do. Gives you more time, get a bit more relaxed. It's not as that you're coming at the end of a window and you need to hit the ground running. But as a business, and I take your point that you might end up having to pay over the odds come the end of the window, but the reverse might be the case, that that club might be going, no, we're going to hold on as long as we can to see if they buckle. Effectively, that's what it is. Who's going to buckle first? And some you win, some you lose. I think it's highlighted a bit, and your frustration's coming through probably because last season was pretty similar in that the transfers did come in later in the window.
It just feels, Gordon, I think, because there's so many obvious, not so many obvious, but there are glaring areas there that really need addressed, you know, because sometimes I think where Celtic deserve I don't know if sympathy is the right word. It's hard to always keep improving, because I think we know Scottish clubs, they have a ceiling. You know, we've spoken about this before. What would you need to spend to turn Celtic into a proper guaranteed Champions League force?
The so one part they do need to, though, is a striker, a goal scorer.
That's what I'm saying. And, and like, they need wingers. Do you know? So we're not talking about these 1% marginal improvements. And we're talking about actually just needing bodies. Now, I'm not saying that means you settle, but do you know what I mean? These are like real pressing priorities, rather than I'm kind of on the fence there. Like, is he definitely better than what we've got? Maybe we don't need to upgrade. And there are areas
I think I'd agree with it. And the striker fight, it's one of those that they could have said, right, we need somebody in to compete and score goals, so we are going to pay a wee bit more than we should just to get that body in the building. But
they're shot in the wide areas as well, aren't they? You look at
that would be the main one.
Yeah, look at Rangers are right there, right? And I keep going back to, it's very early. Let's not get carried away. They're two wide players that come in, scoring goals, bags of pace, everything about them. They look really good.
They've now got four of them.
Yeah,
Asgard and Moore as well.
Yeah, and all of a sudden, and they've got Cortes, and so all of a sudden, Rangers are looking at these guys going, these excite us. Celtic, no disrespect, start the season with Yang. Right? Now, Yang, I think, has got something in him, but are you going into the Champions League with him as your number one wide player? I don't think so. Right now, me, the best centre-forward is Maeda, right? But they're having to play him off the flanks. You look at the three signings there, you talk about Celtic's money. The three signings, Ingles ain't getting in the team just now, right? Adam Ida, Celtic fans aren't buying into him just now. And Trusty is down the pecking order as a centre-half.
Might be the fourth choice, really, when you look at
the
addition this week.
So as much as you're shouting, you don't spend money. They spent £26 million, and these three guys aren't guaranteed a game when it comes to the biggest game. So, look, I know Brendan Rodgers is disappointed, and rightly so. I would be surprised, and I keep saying it, there's still a bit of time in the window. I'd be surprised if he's not got a few front players in.
Look, it was just one man's opinion. I'm not saying that everything now has to be based on this comment, but we had one caller last night, and because of the way things have been over the last decade or more, it's genuinely the first time someone's called in here as a Celtic fan and said, oh, look at what Rangers are doing. They've went and signed wingers, and they need it, almost as if we should copy that. I mean, that's never obviously been the case in the last
been recently. That's been a big criticism of Rangers, but it is tough because Celtic have done so well over the years with our recruitment. Then maybe the board think that we're sticking our guns and we're staying to it. The other thing that hampers Celtic's preparation is Jota's injury. That's a long term injury. He was an our big signing coming back in, and he was one of the low risk ones because he's proven doing it previously. So, but I do agree, I think that it's an area they do need strengthening.
Again, do you think the frustration for fans on that would be that, yeah, he was injured before the end of last season,
so he did know about it.
Not injured this week, or anything like that.
That and a striker, I definitely agree. There are areas that they should have potentially had identified. Just said, let's just go and get them if they want to keep pushing and keeping that distance between them and Rangers.
Michael's not happy, but he's in the hat for the tickets to the races anyway. And I tell you what, it's not to diminish how good it would be to win tickets to Ayr Racecourse, but just imagine you were on the receiving end of this. Clyde One. Maybe you could win both. You're a nice night out of the races, come back, check your bank account and find out that you're £546,000 better off. That is what is up for grabs. Someone has to win the lot. It might as well be you. So get involved. You can actually get 100 entries in this draw if you text BANK to 61025. Those texts are £10 plus your standard network rate. For one entry, text YES to 61025. Texts are £250 plus your standard network rate, or you can call 03434 269 340. Those calls charged at a standard rate as well. Over 18s only. Online entry and all the rules for this Rail Network competition are on our website. Lines close 5 p.m. tomorrow. Do not miss out on this just because you forgot or you were putting it off. You might as well do it now. We're running out of time. £546,000. Good luck. Hopefully it's a successful weekend. Go to makemeawinner.co.uk.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dale is here. Stephen Naismith is alongside him, both waiting for you to get in touch. 0141 951 1025. Give us a call. Tweet us as well if you're that way inclined, at Clyde SSB. What an education. I was just getting listening to these two during the break, because I've told you before, this is a regular theme on this show, that Gordon Dalziel has, well, he's got various issues, obviously, right? But in terms of his caffeine intake, he drinks, what do we always say, 15, 16, 17 coffees a day?
Yeah. Clearly. Is that unrealistic, aye?
Yeah, mate. Listen, I have.
Clearly unhealthy, right?
I went this morning, I mean, before 9:30, I had at least five.
What time are you up in the morning?
I was up at 6:30.
So anyway, the producer John will always come in very kindly, you know, we're well looked after here, and say, do you want a coffee? Now, we've got one of those big industrial, you know, the big Nescafe, like it's like 3 kilos of Nescafe with a big red plastic lid on top. Mm-hmm. But Stephen Naismith is the biggest coffee snob in Scottish football. You should have seen his face.
I know.
When he was offered the
disgusted, wasn't he?
Kinsel coffee, not having it.
Yeah.
No, I just like the coffee, do you know what I mean? Good coffee.
But the thing that
how
really...
How did this love affair with...
Come on, tell your story, I love that.
I just... How I'm moved to Norwich. I know. Severed own coffee. moved to Norwich and I was down the first 6 months myself. A great coffee shop, strangers down there. And two young guys are roasters and they just started out. So I started getting in, loved it. And I just said, look, do you do any lessons or stuff? And they just said, oh, we shut at 6, so come in on a Monday for 6 till 8 and we'll learn. And I used to do that every Monday till the end of the season.
See,
and then you don't drink normal coffee like us wee people. You drink
a last resort.
You got your own.
I'm more interested in when he finished training. His pomp, he would go for coffee lessons, and I'm just wondering about how different the life you led when you were a professional.
What I did between 6 and 8, I needed a coffee to do it.
Why do you have to do that? Why do you have to?
I was a running
conversation. John is on the line. John, what have you got for us?
Hi, good evening, Gordon, and Stephen.
Hello.
Hi, guys. Listen, I'm a Celtic fan, and I'm listening to the last couple of weeks, right? I listened to the boys tonight, Gordon and Stephen, talking about how the Rangers are doing, signing this, signing that. I've watched this Ranger team last 3 years, 3 rebuilds, right? And they've got to do that. If a new manager comes in, I've seen 3 managers come and go, right? Now you've got this guy come in, he has to rebuild again. If they don't go and buy a player or bring players in or whatever, then they'd look daft. I've no problem with Brendan Rodgers. We're the champions. Are you forgetting we're 2 points ahead and Rangers are chasing Celtic just now after one game? I don't have a problem with Brendan Rodgers' transfer activity. The window's wide open, guys.
He seems to, though, John. Is that not where this is taking on a bit?
Listen, I don't think there's... Do you know, Gordon, don't see that as well, saying he thinks this. Listen, I think there's more... Brendan telling the media this or telling the media that, right? Don't always... Listen to Brendan, it's 100%, you know what I mean? Because
not really, if I'm being honest. What do you mean? So like when he says last week, if we're just here to maintain standards, I'm not the man, you know, he says like it's just arithmetic. It's clear, it's very clear, it's arithmetic. We need this person and that person in. So what do you mean? What's not clear about that? Of course
he's not the man to have a maintenance job. He's just telling you as a media. We're here to win, go further with the club, take it to into Europe and do well in Europe. Do you know what I'm saying? I don't have a problem at all with Celtic's transfer activity at all.
No, but that's what I'm saying. It sounds like, which is fine, obviously, like you're invested in it, but it sounds like you're more content with it than he is. You know, it's not like us, it's not like we're just on the outside
do you think Brendan's happy, content with his transfer activity?
Well, no.
Do you, John? Do you?
I just told you just now. So I don't.
And I'll tell you what. I think you're in the small percentage of Celtic fans that are. And Gordon's quite right. It's your opinion. I don't think Brendan Rodgers will be sitting there now thinking, "Yeah, I've had a real good transfer window."
He said as much, though. I don't know why. Why are we?
It's just the 7th of August. The 7th of August.
Yep, I agree that I think Celtic will add to the squad. Listen, it's at the end of the day, John. I was asked a prediction before the season starts who'd win the league, and I said Celtic because I still think Celtic will. But that doesn't say that I'm sitting here thinking, oh, they've had a real good transfer window. The manager's come out already and stated that. So, you've really got to take the manager with face value, haven't you? Let's be honest about it. He's not trying to go out there and pull the wool over journalist's eyes or whatever it may be. He's out there telling exactly what he feels.
No, Gordon, listen.
No.
There's 3 weeks. See, in 3 weeks' time, Gordon. It's 3 weeks' time, how many days or whatever it may be, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're sitting there, Celtic's went out and signed six players or five or whatever it may be, quality players, right? I do believe the media don't get told everything when they're on behind closed doors at Celtic Football Club.
John, I think this stuff with the media is getting overstated. We're talking about Brendan Rodgers. See when he speaks to the media, he's speaking to the fans via that. The one on Sky last week might even have been live, where he's saying those things, you know, for a reason. I'll repeat it. You sound more content with the transfer business than he does. So how does that work?
Can I tell you something? Do you think maybe Brendan Rodgers doesn't see Rangers, but Rangers are brought in? Do you think we've got a team there? Do we really need to up the ante for the league? Or is it Europe are thinking about? But I don't think we need to up the ante for the league. For what I've seen the Rangers, either they beat you meaningless games, right, in my eyes. But when it comes down to the nitty-gritty, Stephen A. Smith, you know that as well. When it comes down to the nitty-gritty, that's your beating butter, is it no, Steve?
I don't think it's about a Rangers-Celtic thing. I think Brendan Rodgers' position's more, we're here, I know what it takes to get us further. I think the European run last season, again, was really good. It was really good. Yeah, but what from a manager's point of view, he'll be wanting no areas that could derail that. And the longer signings take to come in just means there's a bit more pressure on them to hit the ground running and not give them enough time to get used to surroundings, get used to teammates, get used to the style of play. I think that's where he's coming from in that point of view, saying any manager will want all their signings in for day one of pre-season. That's not realistic, but the quicker you get them in, the better. I think that's where Brendan Rodgers is coming from, rather than looking at Rangers going, they're doing this, we need to do that.
John, would you say, just a quick question, would you say that Celtic are now a stronger squad now than they were at the end of the season? Or last season? Here's the question. Have they replaced Kyogo? Have they replaced Kuhn? Have they replaced, and I know he's still not building, but it's going to be a long term injury, Jota? Have they replaced those three quality players?
Right, okay, I'm going to answer that. Clearly, Gordon, I'll answer that, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm going to give you a wee surprise here. See, Adam Eder, I think this big guy's going to come good. I do. I think the big man's going to surprise a lot. He's right. I think it'll come good. The other players you mentioned are out the door. I do believe Celtic will go and replace what's been lost. Guys, this is the thing about Stephen getting guys in early. The biggest clubs in the world go out and sign big players 24 hours before it shuts. So I don't have a problem with bringing a guy in. A guy, Stephen, see that where you're saying need to come in early, get used to the surroundings. Listen, see football, you guys know as well as I know, if you've got ability, play anywhere. You don't need to come in and say, oh, I need to find my surroundings first before I can start doing the business.
It's more just minimising that risk. If you're asking me, I think, like you've just said there, I think Brendan Rodgers will know that he'll sign some players before the end of the window. Is that perfect? If he had a blank page and said, I want this all to happen, that wouldn't be what he wants. Because he'd want them in earlier.
To go back to his interview, his words, so that we're not making it about what we think, he had the choice on Friday, or whatever day it was, to say, I'm completely comfortable, we will get the players in before the end, there is nothing to see here. But he didn't say that.
See, the only thing I will agree with John is, the proof for me was the other night, you know, bringing players in. I think every coach wants them in early to adapt. But that's not to say, you look at Ant-Man the other night.
I do agree with that.
Right,
point, yeah.
Right. He's come in, hardly knows his players.
But everybody's different.
I know that, Gordon, but it
Celtic,
doesn't mean to
Celtic
say...
Celtic are a great example. You know, Hatate, O'Reilly came in, great, brilliant, yeah, straight away. But Nicholas Kuhn came in, had a dental issue, took a few months, mm-hmm, his next season was best. And the difference this season, there's a Champions League qualifier. Now, luckily Celtic are, as John says, still in a pretty strong place. They would hope that the level of opposition they're going to come up against, they can beat. However, it's if that was to go wrong, because you've not had players in time for that, that qualifier.
Like, there's no doubt. I do. John's right in the fact that I think I'd be astonished Celtic didn't bring people in, right? And I'll tell you another thing. If you listened to the show on Saturday, you'd have heard some of the boys that, around about the ground saying that Adam Eder possibly could finish top goal scorer. So they, mm-hmm. they'd sort of agree with John as well,
but,
a little bit.
But also see on that, just to be, to complete the numbers game, even if Adam Eder comes good as John predicts, that still doesn't replace Kyogo. That's just a body, unless you think that someone else has, to be fair, one of the strikers. It doesn't replace Kunt, doesn't replace Jota. So Adam Eder's form actually isn't necessarily relevant if we're talking about the numbers game of how many bodies need to come in.
Yeah, I agree with you, but I still think that Celtic will bring in mm-hmm. players in the forward area. I don't think there's any doubt in that. But right here and now, it's not us mm-hmm. that's coming out. Brendan Rodgers ain't coming out and saying that just to say, do you know what, I'll just tell them what I want them to hear. Brendan Rodgers coming out and saying that because he believes it.
Thank you very much to John. Let's play this. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. At about 2 minutes to six, just before we started, Stephen Naismith sort of looked around and says, anything I need to know? Like, do we do anything? Just like, what do we do on here? And I said, that's going to be fine. We'll figure it out as we go along. Little does he know, it is Beat the Pundit time. 01419511025. It could be him. It could be Gordon DL, who'll probably lose. And therefore you'll win the same ball. But either way, you need to get your calls in by 7 o'clock, so be quick. For football in Glasgow and the West, 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Stephen Naismith and Gordon DL are here. It's 0141 951 1025. We are just one more day on from the fallout to Rangers win in Europe the other night, so we started with some calls on that. We've gone on as usual, as we often do at this time of year, to Celtic's transfer business. If you have any thoughts on them, keep them coming. And I'd still like to hear from any of you Hibs fans, Dundee United fans, or neutral observers ahead of some big European action tonight as well. We're going to play this first though. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Right, Beat the Pundit time. This is your... You hate when this happens.
What?
We've got a team effort on the line.
Nah, I'm not playing. I don't care if it lands at me, I'm
it's
not playing.
It's your choice.
What's that, the team my effort?
Kiara and Chris.
They're
I've played a minibus once. A minibus, mate. A minibus.
Can you play together?
No, you can't. Get
yes,
somebody
can.
Out the room.
Don't listen to him. Kiara, Chris, how are you?
I've been beat four times.
Oh, well, you stay then. Put the other one in the room.
So let me get this straight, Chris. You've been beaten four times, so you've now recruited Kiara to come and help you out.
That's exactly what's happened.
You
were
too scared to get up. Brilliant. I quite like that. Where are you from, both of you?
Fancy
Kilmarnock. Oh, that's Stephen Naismith country.
Yeah, he can drop the ball
he
off.
He can kick the ball out the window.
Exactly.
Down the road when he's on his way down. Uh-huh. That's perfect.
Aye.
After ball will be coming, guys.
After his coffee lesson and his...
Oh, his first...
He's made,
so
you, he's made you feel like a scumbag tonight.
He's made me feel exactly
choices.
Where I belong. Yeah, he certainly has.
Anyway, well, however, you've got the chance to take advantage here because Stephen Naismith has never played Beat the Pundit before. You actually have been on the show before, I remember, yep. During the first Euros. Didn't play Beat the Pundit, though?
No.
No? Okay. Well, listen, you're next to the...
Master.
King.
100%, mate.
Well, King and the Apprentice,
100%.
Yeah. So, blue on my new Beat the Pundit coin, which I've retrieved from the office after embarrassingly having to toss a Jaffa cake last night. Blue will be Stephen Naismith, red will be Gordon DL. Let's see how we go. Oh, yes.
Oh, it's a debut.
We've got rubbish, man. Got
him. Mate, I'll help you.
I actually haven't even really explained this to
no.
him. What we do here is for the next 30 seconds or so, you will hear something else. You won't hear me, so that you can't hear Kiara and Chris's attempt.
Mm-hmm. Is it the same questions?
Yes.
Uh-huh. No, you get different ones.
Why would that?
Because then we would know who would win.
Right, okay.
It's multiple choice, you'll be fine.
Whoever answers the most questions in 30 seconds.
Yours might be harder than
okay.
theirs.
It's multiple choice.
Right.
Is it?
Get rid of him. Give him something else to listen to. Kiara and Chris, 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can. Make it easy for me. Just somebody be the spokesperson and give me the final answer, okay? Right.
I've got the loudest voice, I'll be.
Quite right. 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Before Scott McTominay, who was the last Scot to be nominated for the Ballon d'Or?
Alan McCoy.
Which team eliminated Hibs from the Europa League?
Michelin.
Which European competition was scrapped in 2009?
UEFA Yeah, for cup.
Stevie Farrell is the current manager of which club?
I'll be rolling.
John McGlynn, Steven Gerrard and Ange Postecoglou all have what in common?
Pass.
Which club has Angus Gunn joined?
Birmingham.
Okay, let's bring him back. Stephen Naismith, can you hear us?
Yes.
What are you gesticulating for?
Right, you need to sack somebody in here. See that last question there?
Mm-hmm.
That was on the show the other night there.
I don't think so.
Yes, it was. Yes, it
you
was.
Would still get, you would still get it wrong.
So yes, no, I won't. You want me to tell him the answer?
No, please don't. Right, Stephen Naismith, your big debut, don't bottle it now. 30
so
seconds.
Wait a minute. I can pass.
Yeah. Right, don't keep this saying pass, mate.
Right, okay.
It's this no football.
Because I've only got 10 questions. Don't keep passing.
All right, okay.
30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. Before Scott McTominay, who was the last Scot to be nominated for the Ballon d'Or?
Ali McCoy.
Which team eliminated Hibs from the Europa League?
Michelin.
Which European competition was scrapped in 2009?
Cup winners, Cup.
Stevie Farrell is the current manager of which club?
Dumbarton.
John McGlynn, Steven Gerrard and Ange Postecoglou all have what in common?
Pass.
Which club has Angus Gunn just joined?
Nottingham Forest.
After match day one, who's the top scorer in the Scottish Premiership?
Bibby.
Name any team that's been disciplined today over the use of pyrotechnics.
Falkirk.
Okay. Kiara, Chris, what do you think?
I'm applauding that, mate.
Excuse yeah. me.
That was good.
How'd you know?
That was good.
See
that, Angus Gunn one? That was on the other night.
Are you sure?
100%.
Did I read it?
Yeah.
I think it's only been confirmed today.
It was the only sign today.
No, it was on the other night.
I feel like it definitely was on last week.
Well, you got it wrong.
She got it. By the way, I'll tell you what. See the.
I got it wrong, but I got it right last week.
See the. We'll give you. See John McGinn. I still can't get that.
Well, do you know what to do? See if you just be quiet. I'll go through the answers like I do every night.
I get excited.
Give us a wee clue with that one. That's frustrating.
Forgetting to. What a bad combination you two are.
Just don't give the answer to that one. Let's try and get it.
Oh, first Sean is now dictating the rules.
Move on.
Honestly. Blimey heck. Right, let's go through them. Before Scott McTominay, who was the last Scot to be nominated for the Ballon d'Or, it was Ali McCoist. You both got it, 1-1. Which team eliminated Hibs from the Europa League? Michelin. Both got it, 2-2.
Good game.
The European competition scrapped in 2009 was the Intertoto Cup. Quite tricky that one.
Did they get it?
They did not get it.
No
still
wonder.
Tool. Stevie Farrell is the manager of Dumbarton. 3-2. Stephen Naismith, John McGlynn, Steven Gerrard and Ange Postecoglou.
Hold on. Can it be?
What do you think, Kiara and Chris, now that you've had a bit of time?
Tottenham.
I still kind of get it, but I'm thinking something.
Won a trophy Steven in their second season.
John McGlynn. John
McGlynn.
Oh, McGlynn. Oh,
you
right.
say that as if you know the answer.
I thought it was John McGlynn.
Won a trophy in their second season.
All PFA Manager of the Year.
I never get that.
It's quite simple when you think about it. Angus Gunn has today, I think, joined Nottingham Forest.
I was on last week.
Fine, yeah. I believe you. So Stephen Naismith, 4-2 up, and he's added a bit of gloss. Kieran Bowie is the top scorer. So it's a 5-2 win. We actually got another one in. They've only written Aberdeen, Celtic or Partick Thistle. Did Falkirk get done for Pyro as well?
Aye.
Well, there you go. You've even got answers.
Maybe not.
No, I know Partick Thistle. Yeah, yeah.
Doesn't really matter.
Have you any more in your family there, Chris?
Minibus for
any cousins or anything?
Any cousins?
Well, probably I don't know them.
Right, that's you lost five in a row. Do you think that it's maybe time to give up? Look, I'll tell you, I'll buy you a ball.
Have you ever played Gordon Dale?
No, I played against you, Marvin and Roger.
Welcome back on and play Gordon another time. But there we go. Thank you very much.
Anyway,
Kiara, you embarrassed yourself.
Chris, are you both?
Anyway, don't worry.
Are you both? Both support the same team. What's the allegiance?
The Rangers.
How did you? Of course. How did you find the other night? Happy with that?
You know, it's a stark difference. It's totally night and day. See, having two wingers, in my lifetime, I don't remember the last time having two wingers at the same time. And it's just totally night and day. See, actually having a winger that can find the byline, it makes all the difference.
I suppose that is. I mean, it is obvious. We all knew it, Stephen. But I mean, it is hard because as a fan or anyone, you're going.
Though,
sorry, carry on.
To be fair, you can't read too much in Europe because the issue's never been Europe. The issue's always been the league performances.
That's a good point.
So, I suppose Saturday will tell us all we need to know. Really,
that is fair. But you know, from one league game to the next, Rangers have got. Ant-Man, and I haven't seen an update yet, but in theory, Mikey Moore Mm-hmm. So from Fir Park last week, and it was bad, and it deserved to be called out as bad, and Russell Martin called it out as bad. But for the very next league game, you might add Mikey Moore and Oliver Antman to your attacking options. So
I think also the players are so key in the system that if you've not got the right profile of player in them, the rest of your team suffers. So I think that's been
some difference, isn't it, Gordon, in the space of a few days, just in terms of having those options.
Yeah, and especially when, like say, I totally agree. You look at Europe for Rangers, it doesn't matter who the manager is, they seem to rise to the occasion. But see, after the result the other night there, they couldn't ask for a better game, could they? No disrespect to Dundee. Dundee come to Ibrox, they're on fire just now. I like the wide men. Antman was brilliant the other night there. He gives them that pace. Kasama has got the goals, four goals. He's given them pace on the left-hand side. And you're right, I think if they can create, which they will do, with Dessers up top, they could be a handful this season.
I mean, you obviously know Russell Martin well. Stephen played at Norwich and for Scotland and have stayed in touch over the years. Have you kind of watched on from a bit of a distance, but knowing the character and seeing the way he had to negotiate last week with the very strong comments after Fir Park and then the big selection calls the other night?
I've not been overly surprised because I know what it's like up here and I know how fierce it can swing each way. But I think what has come out has his biggest attribute, and that's his leadership and communication. That is the best thing that he's got. And that's where, when he's coming out and saying that after the Motherwell game, I'll guarantee you every player, not any player in there, will be sitting thinking, I'm down in tools, I'm not having this new manager or whatever it may be, because he'll have explained beforehand his reasons for what he's about to say. And I think even after the game the other night, he comes out and he says that he wasn't angry, he wasn't emotional, it's just the truth. And that's what he's very good at giving.
I liked it, I really do. I know that a lot of people now say, oh, that should all be done behind closed doors, right? We've heard that a million times. You've been a manager yourself, people go, oh, he's throwing his players under the bus right away. I thought it was refreshing, Gordon, I really did. And the reason why, you look at Raskin coming on the pitch, because obviously it was aimed at him. It was aimed at him. He came on the pitch the other night there, and I thought his attitude was brilliant. Right? So he's not taking the huff and salt. He's taking the message and thought, I need to fight for my place.
See, on that, right, all the players in the changing room will probably have thought similar, that it wasn't good enough, this and that. So it's not as if he's coming out and saying the complete opposite of what they actually... Players understand the game, they know what they're doing, they know what's good and what's not. So I think that bit's just blown up.
Was he like that as a player then? Is this just a continuation?
Yeah, it is. But he's reading of a personality, of a person that maybe needs an arm around him, or somebody that you can have a go at. Like somebody I've just seen about a poor injury, James Maddison, young player at Norwich, really confident to the point that he needed cut down a few times, and Russ at the right moment of that would make that happen, but he knew he could take it and he knew he'd be better for it. But there was others that maybe don't deal with that well. He's reading of that, it's just really good.
Thank you very much to Ciara and Chris. Wasn't to be on Beat the Pundit. We publicly flog, shame and humiliate the producers. It's worse than I thought. And by the way, hands up as well, how bad's my memory? Matthew has been on, so has Ross Cowan.
Am I right?
Not only has the Angus Gunn question been asked, it was last night.
Was it last night?
I've forgotten about that. I'm shameless. I'll just blame somebody else.
Right, okay. So there you go. Apology accepted.
So you were listening last night?
No, but I'm sure I was on when that question. I think that question's repeated to Shell a few times.
Maybe it was Tuesday actually when you were on.
Did I get the ball? No.
Yeah, it was Tuesday, I think.
Was it Tuesday?
No. Yeah. Why would you want a ball signed by Hugh Keevans and Gordon?
Oh, is it signed by? No, I was meaning a good proper ball that I could take. Use.
Can get a gold ball.
It was Tuesday, I think, Gordon. Yeah. When you were on. Right, back to the phones. Brian's on. How are you, Brian?
I'm pretty good. I think the last caller before the Beat the Pundit, was it John, I think?
Yes.
Celtic. I think he's a bit deluded. I'd imagine that 95% of Celtic fans are in uproar. And I think even these fans, the very small minority that actually think Celtic's like a great way to run football club, they may well be, but just basically for the chosen few, the shareholders, the owners, And even things like Adam Eden, I mean, it's going to be Adam Eden again. It's going to be like, if you're going to leave it so late, we can have Adam Eden for $5 million. We ended up paying $9 million. And I think even a guy, Nady's going to love this one. No, he's getting over Celtic again. Even like Matthias Vardistan. And we chased him for so long, and Norwich again signed him for less than we bid. I mean, what's actually happening?
See, in fairness, right, Brian, as always with these things, is the truth just in the middle somewhere? I made it clear I didn't really agree with John's reading of it, because I think it actually goes against what Brendan Rodgers has said. So, for, you know, forget us or anyone else, it goes against the way he feels. However, you're talking about, you know, Celtic only benefits a few people or whatever. I mean, it is a club and a team that delivers you trophies as a fan, doesn't it? Regularly, very regularly, more regularly than most teams in world football. So
certainly, but can I come in as well? I mean, most football teams are run as a plaything and a hobby for the owners. They're not run to make them money. What actual teams make money? Even your Barcelona's, Real Madrid's, they don't make money. They're basically just a plaything for the rich owners. And that's by and large what a football team is. As opposed to even Brother Wolfe set it up for Celtic back then when it was a charitable establishment. Now it's just a money making exercise for a number of elite few who don't give a flying about the fans.
Well, I mean, like I said, fans like Brian are more emotionally invested, so that argument is, you know, I think that's for him. I can't tell him he's wrong there, but this notion that Celtic are only trying to take, I'm not sure, because, like I say, the kind of number one thing you want to give your fan base is success, and they do that. Now, you can still argue about, okay, are they then preparing for the next step of that well enough? Are they being the best version of themselves? Fine, but I'm not sure.
I think it's the next step. I think it's that next step, because they, as you said earlier, they've spent $26 million last summer. So that I can understand the frustration, because as a fan, you see all this money coming in, and there's, like I said with the last caller, you maybe just think, just go and get that striker that we need. Maybe if we pay a wee bit extra, we might need to overpay. But if we really believe in him, it'll bring us success. But I think deep down, the biggest thing is Celtic have done. Progressed well in Europe last season from where they have always been recent times. It's been to group stages and very rarely, maybe the odd time getting to the last 16. But the new format and the way Brendan Rodgers has played, they've progressed, they've got through, and they look capable of good performances in Europe. He'll want to keep that momentum going and that progression going. That's, for me, where this all boils down to.
Yeah, I agree. Listen, we call it as it is just now. I don't think Celtic have had the best transfer window, but that could be all different. There's still, what, 3 weeks mm-hmm. to go or something gone? Now, I'd be amazed if Brendan Rodgers didn't get players in, especially forward areas and the wide areas, and strengthen that squad. So in 3 weeks' time, we could be sitting here, different calls, people come in saying, really happy with the window now, we've brought in the quality we need, look at the squad we've got. But as it stands here, and that's what Celtic fans are a bit raised about, the fact it's Brendan Rodgers, as the manager, that's coming out and leading us. He's saying that basically, look, okay, I need better players, I need more players in. We've not replaced, and he keeps going back to Kyogo and players like that. So he understands the situation. But I know what Brian's saying, but football club for Celtic is a business. It's very well run. Their transfer market, the way they work in there, is very good. Have a look at, you know, O'Reilly's and that coming in, the Jotas, the Tierneys, they sold and got, obviously, Jota and Tierney back in the cheap as well. So if you look at it overall, and you're quite right, it's all about winning trophies. They've won domestic trophies year in, year out. So I think that you've got to split it both ways. I think you've got to look, as a fan, at the football. You want the best players possible, but as a board and directors of the club, they've got to make sure the club's run right.
As a Celtic fan, what would you have thought was the minimum, Brian, at this point?
I'm not going to mention money, I'm going to mention players. I mean, we're piddled about the Japanese market, spending like $1.5 million. And if he, obviously this guy from Man City, the lone centre-back, he's probably no doubt going to be a good player. But we want to progress further in Europe. We did, okay, I'll be fair. Most of the teams we beat in Europe were pretty poor last year, but we put up a really good performance against Bayern Munich, and there was a few decisions that went with the bigger team. But I want that progression to get better. I mean, Celtic fans, I know you're going to talk about Rangers, but Celtic fans want to progress in Europe. They want so ergo you need better players. I mean, we've lost O'Reilly, we've lost Kyogo, and these guys just ain't been replaced. And obviously lost Kuhn, who I wasn't a big fan at first, and I had to put my hands up and say I was totally wrong. But we need to get players in that are maybe better than... Okay, we spent a few quid last year, but turned out not to be the players that we thought they
but
were.
But say you've done that again because you're wanting to progress and it's higher risk, so you spend that same money and the players that come in don't hit the heights that you expect, then you start becoming into trouble.
No, but Celtic's about 100 million in the bank. And as I said earlier, Celtic's got to spend this money on players. Fans, most fans don't care about how well the club's running, how much money's in the bank. As long as we're solvent and we're buying players and we're progressing in tournaments in Europe, that's what the fans want.
I agree with Brian. I think that every fan wants the best they possibly can. They want to see great players on the pitch, entertaining. But you're talking about Europe there, and I know that Celtic fans look at the domestic side and they've dominated it for a long time, and they're looking at Europe. But even though you go and spend a lot of money, you're still up against big clubs with far
greater
big budgets, budgets and players and international players than what Celtic have got. So to break that in Europe,
and by the way, it doesn't mean you're
going to spend that money and do it.
But we always, this sounds like the same conversation we had this time last season, but Celtic did progress in Europe in the Champions League last season. And I know individually, I'm not saying Engels was worth every penny of the 11 and Ida worth every penny of the 9 and Trusty worth every penny of the 6. But to be fair, they all did contribute in the Champions League, you know. And you know, if you took them out, who's to say Celtic?
I must say, Engels is a 20-year-old guy that's got brilliant potential, and I know he came in for a lot of money, but I think he's somebody who's been signed for the longer term. Who I thought his best performances for Celtic were in Europe, which shows you that in that level he was comfortable. And I think as the years go on, I think he'll play a bigger part. Yes, he's no started this season, but I think he will be a big player in the coming years.
Thank you, Brian. It's a good time to call. Phone us right now, 01419511025. We will line you up next.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dalziel and Stephen Naismith are here. I like the way we're working this tonight, where Stephen Naismith just sort of learning on the job. Never really done Super Scoreboard before. I have to admit, I arrived here at 5 to 6, maybe.
Very unprofessional.
So I didn't really get time to brief you. Like, listen, it could have been worse. He could have been presenting this show. He was nearly presenting this
brilliant
show.
Brilliant, mate.
Let me tell
that
you.
That would have been class.
Would have been.
I was in Aberdeen. I left him plenty of time. I was scooshing it. I got to the Broxton roundabout, you know the one?
Perth.
I hit the traffic. My sat nav just changed to 6:30. My heart, well, we'll call it my heart. There were other bits of my body acting up. 6:30. I thought the nation is staring at the possibility of you presenting this show.
Imagine that.
I tell you what, there's a lot of people out there
asking for it.
Exactly.
So somehow, anyway, cleared up, made it. But I haven't really had the chance to explain much to Stephen, so we'll just see how it works as we go. It's now time for the full time teaser. Now that is when you send the questions to us, and the pundits have about the last half an hour of the show to try and come up with the answers. This is tough though. This is a great question from Dale in Motherwell. Thank you to Dale for sending this in. Topical as well. The two European representatives tonight. Listen to this. Since 2009, can you name the last 6 Scotsmen who've played for Dundee United and Hibs and a club outside of Scotland or England?
Stephen Fletcher.
Oh, he's got a bit of his teeth already. He's showing off a wee bit if you don't. So the last 6 Scots to play for Dundee United and Hibs and a team outside of Scotland or England. So Stephen Fletcher, Dundee United, Hibs and
Burnley, Sunderland.
Not outside of Scotland or England.
Marseille.
So did you just get that accidentally, that one? You misheard the question and still got Stephen Fletcher.
Aye.
Good. Any from you, Gordon, jump out?
Karen McKay, Stephen, never.
No. Dingwall's not outside Scotland or England. That was far away.
I played in America, didn't I? Somewhere.
I've not played for Hibs though. What are you on about?
I know, just in case you did.
Great.
You're the only pundit I've ever seen bring a backpack in here, by the way.
What's all about?
What's
up with his backpack? Get my coffee stuff in there.
I was like, he's taking a bit serious.
Why is it taking you half 7?
Just coming prepared, just in case.
What is in there? Seriously, open that up.
I'll show you after.
Dundee United, Hibs, right, okay.
And the team outside of Scotland or England.
Oh man.
Listen, we get back to it. You've got to the end of the show. You've only got
need a wee bit of thinking.
Yeah, 5 left to get. Don't mind. Okay, we will leave it there. Right. On that topic, obviously, because it's been inspired by what's happening tonight. Hibs are away to Partizan Belgrade. Gordon, you get the you'll run through the Partizan 11 for us.
Yeah, yeah. You do the Hibs, I'll do the rest.
So Smith and goal, back. Is it, are they going back to back four? Anyway, they've probably lined up wrong on this website, but roughly, yeah. Got Iredale, Bashiri, and O'Hara the back three usually. Obita and Cad in the wing backs. Mulligan, Levitt, and McGrath midfield. Boyle supporting Bowie in attack, by the looks of it. So you hitting a good point at the top, Stephen. You've done your research. Partizan, you hear the name, and then you, yeah, would, you think, oh, it should be tough for Hibs. And I'm not saying it's not going to be. We know it will be intimidating and so on. But you mentioned they went through, was it four managers last season. They got knocked out off Larnaca in the previous round. So there's probably a balance there to acknowledge that it's going to be tough, but let's stop.
It could have been tougher.
Let's stop doing down our team's chances here. Hibs should believe, based on the performance level against Michelin, that they can at least give this a good go.
I think actually the Michelin game's a good reference point, because I think it's not like they've played a Moldovan team or a team that you don't really know much about that hasn't get much credibility. They've played a Michelin team and it was on a knife's edge. The last kick of the ball obviously cost them, but they played well, they had chances, and also the way they've started the season. They're into the manager's second year. I think everything seems to have calmed down a lot, and it seems as if everybody's on the same page and it's going in the right direction. So Bowie started well. I don't think you can underestimate that striker getting off to a good start. They kind of ride the crest of that wave.
Is it too early to be looking at this being the season they really kind of stays in the Scotland squad and starts getting caps?
I think he's in that category of player that has had a taste, but you've got to, first of all, you've got to be doing it at a club level. I think last season, the move to Hibs and everything around it, I think you could tell he was always kind of playing catch up. He was never, everything was great speed and his flow, if you like. I think you've seen that through pre-season and into the league season, that he's now fitter, he's ready and he's enjoying his football. So it's, again, he's got to do it at his club, but then also when he's in about the squad, he's got to show that he's worth it.
He certainly got off to a good start, and I think that's important, especially if you're playing those front areas, getting a few goals as well. I look at that Hibs team tonight and you're thinking, right, what's important, the clean sheet or maybe grabbing a goal? I think they've got the possibility with Bowie and Boyle up there. They're a real threat, and if you can get the service to them, look, if they come back with a positive result, I know it didn't work out against Michelin, they lost late goals, terrific goals, you've got to say, they'd have a great opportunity.
Suppose if he goes on to do great things, people might start referring to him as the best striker Raith Rovers have ever had.
Nah, that'll never happen, mate.
No?
No. Are you kidding me on? The best striker.
I thought he was young.
The captain, the leader, goal scorer for 10 years.
But he was young at the time.
Championship player of the year and twice in a row. On. Could have been third, but I didn't want it. You know what I mean? There's nobody in that category. Know what they do now? It's the second they always go for.
We'll see.
Jesus.
As for Dundee United, though, it feels like an entirely different prospect for them. Rapid Vienna, I think, was at the quarterfinals of the Conference League last season. You know, sold a player recently for tens of millions of pounds, and then the place that Dundee United find themselves in. So if it's to look through their team, let's go, what was it, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6,
they're missing
7,
a few bodies.
Eight new signings, and they're missing loads. The bench is quite telling. So Kucherenko in goal. He's now, I think Jim wanted to play a back three and has already had to go to a four because of injuries. So Savey, Jovu, Esselink, Carestes at the back, Kamara, Sibbald and Papo, midfield three, Sapsford and Will Ferry at least back because he's suspended for league duty, but back for this. And Max Waters, who scored at the weekend, leading the line. But the bench for a European tie, if we're talking about, firstly, this is a tough European opponent. Secondly, how hard it is for teams to balance. You can maybe talk about your experiences in a second about this Thursday, Sunday, if you're not used to it. The bench: Kai Fotheringham, Dave Richards, Miller Thompson, Lewis O'Donnell, Rory Adams, Owen Sturton, Charlie Doer, Samuel Cleal Harding, Scott Constable, Calvin Beattie, Harry Welsh. The bench is full of young academy kids. Ivan Dolcek, one of the new signings, is on there as well. So this is an unforgiving situation for Dundee United.
It's tough. It's really tough. But I think I've found when you're a club and you've not consistently getting into Europe and into, or you've not got a squad of international players that are used to that repetitive games every 3 days, and you're in your rhythm of recovering, getting the knowledge you need for the next game and the tactical detail, and then getting ready for that game, it's really tough to maintain that level. And then I don't think most Scottish squads are equipped enough to get through all the qualifiers and what's needed to get to group stage European
even
football.
Though you thought it was going to be difficult, is it even more difficult in reality when it comes around?
Yeah, I think it is. And I think you've got the pros and cons of also changing your team that early on in a season, that you're still trying to gel players in positions that are key, maybe your back four, back three, your right-hand side, your left-hand side, your attackers. Getting the connections with players, and especially new players, while you're constantly rotating your team, can be tough. So it's a fine balance. You definitely do need a wee bit of luck. And I think that what it's taken now to get into a group stage for these teams is really tough.
You think it'll be too much for them over the piece of the two games?
These two, it'll be tough. It'll be really tough. As you say, the quality of opposition is the biggest thing. And it's not only that, but they're a team that are used to being in the early rounds of Europe. And I think that plays a massive part in it.
Used to being in the latter rounds of Europe last season. You know, I think that's because on one hand, we always say that we need to, the coefficient, obviously, we're heading towards a pretty bad place now, having been in a decent spot a couple of years ago. We need teams to, you know, do more. And yes, we've had a lot of embarrassments in, you know, semi-recent history. But ultimately then, if the draw is not kind, or, you know, you find yourself in a certain situation, it's extremely tough for Dundee United. If Dundee United were at their absolute peak right now and flying and in a really good spot and a consistent team and all the rest of it, it would still be tough.
Yeah,
against Rapid Vienna, never mind maybe this kind
of... Well, it is well documented. They've got a lot of injuries, as you read out there, Gordon. A lot of young kids on the bench as well. They've brought in a lot of signings, and sometimes that does take time to gel. I watched them, their game against Falkirk. They were very open indeed, I've got to say. So if they go with the same sort of tactics tonight, it could be a long night for them.
Again, though, at the same time, I don't think we should always be totally defeatist. Shocks happen in football. I mean, we should, you know, prepare for it. Is it very simple in terms of, because they go away first, just try and hang in there, go and make it really difficult and then bring it back?
Organisation's the biggest thing, but I think that was probably one of their biggest strengths last season, how well organised Jim Goodwin had the team. They all understood their role, and in games they were comfortable to sit in a block and soak up pressure, and there was not a panic, and there wasn't guys chasing out of position and sliding in tackles. They all were resolute and a good connection between defence, midfield and attack. So that's a strength of theirs. But as we've said, it's going to be tough. But without any European game, the first leg, even though they'll think we're at home, but want to come out the traps fast, most first European legs are quite cagey and feeling each other out. So that'll play fun.
But then, as you say, the other, we were saying last season, they were good at being organised and in a block. 8 new signings in the team tonight. You know, that's why their rebuild's so fascinating, because they actually had a good season. They would be one of the success stories. But your best player was on loan, and you can't keep him. And Sam Dolby, and you have to replace. And then players who played a fair part, like Declan Gallagher, Ross Docherty, it's decided that, no, you want to go again, you want to push, you want to try and improve them. But it leads to a big turnover in the summer.
It does, but I think the root of that for me is the bigger question of Scottish football, where every manager's under so much pressure, the margins are so fine, the way clubs are run. And I think as the years go on, we're getting slightly better at being less reactive and more having a plan for years ahead. But all that doesn't play into this, because as you say, you've had such a successful season last season, but then you're rebuilding again. So it's a bit of a toss of a coin if you're going to get all your recruitment right, if their players are going to come in and improve your squad, and they're all going to play as well as the majority of your squad did last season. That's the tough part nowadays.
What about this teaser then, themed alongside the qualifiers tonight? Can you name six Scots, the last six Scots to play for Dundee United and Hibs and a club outside of Scotland or England, like Stephen Fletcher? Started at Hibs, Dundee United semi-recently, and played for Marseille in between.
I'm struggling here.
I'm massively struggling.
A couple of...
It's no help me when we're answering questions about European games.
That's the whole point. Got to spin plates on this show.
Since 2009.
Did you say it's from 2009?
Yeah, last six.
Oh, yeah.
I think your best bet is...
Well, even the just focus, the squad that played in Europe for Dundee United under Jack Ross, there must be a few in that then.
No, but just focus on players that played for Dundee United and Hibs.
I'm trying to think, right?
And then try, then we'll see if we can fill in the rest.
2009.
Do you know what I mean? So Stephen Fletcher played for Dundee United and Hibs. Can you think of any others that did that? Hibs and Dundee United. Dundee United and Hibs might have been in a totally different order.
Hibs and Dundee United. Dundee United. Come on, you were a half manager. You must know that.
No, in 2009, wasn't
it? I'll give you some clues, maybe, when we return. Right. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. It's been a quick show tonight. We're into the home stretch on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We've got Stephen Naismith and Gordon DL here. He's trying to steal your answers to the look of. You need to learn the tricks of this show. We're on the full time teaser tonight, thanks to Dalen Motherwell, who wants the last six Scots to play for Dundee United and Hibs and the team outside of Scotland or England. They've got Stephen Fletcher, Marseille. Any others during the break?
I'll give you the one that I... You can say the one that I said in the break.
Well, there's no point in that now, are they?
How?
The full nation know that it's yours.
Scott Allen.
Scott Allen. Hibs, Dundee United and Larne.
No, this other one I'm really interested in.
Gold.
Ryan Gold. Dundee United, Hibs and various others abroad.
You should have got that.
Always believe in your soul.
Three down, three to get. Okay, we'll leave it there.
It's tough.
That's fine. Well done to Jim Ban 96, who knew Scott Allen as well. He was straight in with that on Twitter.
Scott Allen's a good one. Larne.
Larne. Robert's on the line. Hi, how you doing, Robert?
Good afternoon. Afternoon. Good evening, gentlemen. I'm fine, thanks.
Good.
I would just... What do you think? Would Russell Martin revert back to the team that drew in Motherwell? Or did they stick with the one that played really well the other night here? I don't know. I'm scared in case he puts Tavernier and Raskin back in. I know they had easy targets, but obviously not working.
Well, it's going to be interesting. Yeah, I think certainly, you know, I can see it tomorrow night in the show. We'll probably have a lengthy debate about what the Ranger team needs to look like at the weekend.
Not for me. I think he's got to stick with what he played with the other night. I know that it's a rotation, it's a squad, and it's a different game. It's a league game. It's at Ibrox. Look, they're heavy favourites to beat Dundee. A lot of people have already written Dundee off this season. And he could freshen it up. But we're near the start of the season. He looked at that performance the other night there. You'd want to keep that momentum going. Unless there's a couple of wee niggly injuries that he decides not to risk players. I'd be surprised if the front three don't start. I thought Lyle Cameron, I thought he was excellent. I really did. I thought he brought so much energy. I don't think he's going to bring back Tavernier just now. I don't think so. I think Tavernier will set that out. I'd be surprised unless there's a couple of wee niggly injuries. That
Max Aaron came off, didn't he, with a bang? So
that's right.
That's
yeah.
a potential, but I agree. The momentum side of it at this early on, I think, and it's a home game. It's a game that you're expected to be on the front foot. I think that plays into keeping the same. Starting 11, you would think, and then maybe thinking if it was an away European game, the next game your thoughts might be different.
Yeah, because actually, just on the freshness aspect rather than anything else, were you surprised going from Panathinaikos to Motherwell that there wasn't more changes?
Yeah, I probably slightly, but I think part of that's down to the bodies in the building, and the performance is the one that I think the Motherwell performance then makes that. Decision easier to make to do that. I think Jeffy came in the other night and the flow of the team was better. I think that helped, but I do think at times if you're, I know they're maybe in the market signing some more defenders, but if you've gotten away a European game, Tavernier and Max Aarons might both play just for their experience, but I don't think there'll be too many changes. I wouldn't think.
What do you think, Robert? Because obviously Oliver Antman started the other night, went straight in. Guys like him keep their place. We don't even know yet what the status is with Mikey Moore's registration or Telazgard's injury.
This game was a bit unfair drawing James Tavernier, but for the good of the team, we've got better options there. He needs to be a cracking servant, obviously. But I think one of the legs have gone, but he's not the player he was. But that's quite apparent for everybody to see. I mean, if I can see it, the manager must be able to see it. which is why he was probably dropped.
And then, Gordon, though, try not to be disrespectful here, but see if you're Rangers and you're sort of functioning the way you should be and you're ticking along, you should be able to
flip one or two
for a home game against Dundee.
Yeah, I agree. I think that only because it's early, because we go back to this momentum, I think that he'll feel good about the team, mm-hmm. the energy, everything about it. And I think he'll just keep everybody on their toes by saying, look, these guys come in the other night there, they were excellent. You've got your substitutions that you can use in abundance, so it's not like you've got to run them for another 90 minutes. You can bring players off. But I think you've got to keep that sort of a competition for places going. So unless I keep going back to it, there's a few niggles that we don't know about, I wouldn't be surprised if it was the same thing.
There is a couple. He could make one or two changes that realistically... Raskin could come back in for Lyle Cameron, but
Tavernier could come in at right back.
Yeah, but I don't think there'll be... I don't think it'll look like the same team at the Motherwell game. Yeah, that's what I think.
All right, thank you very much to Robert. Some signings that we have in our midst today. St Mirren have completed the deal for the return of Keanu Backus. Remember him, Australian midfielder. He only left a year ago, but he's back after being at Mansfield. On potential outs, let's hear from Jens Bertel Askew, the Motherwell manager, who says Lennon Miller is preparing as normal to face St Mirren on Saturday. Despite rising interest in the midfielder, he's got a full week of training behind him after an injury. He says it's a big boost heading into the weekend.
It's not my main job on my desk, right? There are all the people in the club dealing with that. And there's nothing finalised, nothing ready. So he's still a Motherwell player and he's preparing for the game on Saturday. He's been training well this week and it's looking good, which is really, really positive. So I think that's the latest news I can say on that case. Yeah, obviously he's got a full week of training under his belt now, which is he hasn't had that since he had his little injury and his little setback, and that's positive. So he looks ready, he looks fresh, and he looks sharp as always. Fantastic football player, so we're happy to have him back on the pitch.
Interesting this now, Gordon, because on one hand, everybody just keeps saying, don't play him, no point in playing him, got to sell him, club definitely needs the money, last 10 months of his contract, forget it, wrap him in cotton wool. And then there's that wee selfish bit that says, if Motherwell can play like they did the other night in the second half, it'd be lovely to see him in it for a couple of weeks before he goes, because he would absolutely thrive. But you still think, you know, not going to happen?
Not for me. If he's getting out the building, he's leaving, and you're looking to get a good price in for him, would you actually risk him? Now, we had a caller on here the other night there at Kilt Big Marv saying about Motherwell's midfield three are the best in the country and included Celtic in that. So it shows you that, you know, they're performing well. Listen, he's a brilliant talent, but are you being fair to the lad as well, putting him in the team in the sense of you're a selling club, you know that he's got 10 months left, you need to cash in now. I think that'd be a massive risk.
Well, look at he gets a small injury through pre-season. If the club's stance is he is 100% going because of contract situation, they can't blame him. I actually feel for Lennon because he's the one that's going to need to get that match sharpness up when he goes. And he's just had a brilliant introduction to Scotland squad. But I suppose this is I found that I moved late to Rangers, right late in the window, and there became a point through, I didn't play in the pre-season games until the very last one. And then I was like, right, I need to play here because I need to make sure I'm ready.
So you did play for Kilmarnock in those opening
games? I played to start the season, and then I moved the last day of the window. But that was more on me saying,
I
need to make sure I'm sharp. If not, I'm going to take a bit of time.
And did you feel like you were definitely leaving? Or was there still an element of doubt?
There was a wee bit more of an element of doubt with
it. Right. It's a good one for tomorrow. We need another six Scots who've played for Dundee United and Hibs and a club outside of Scotland and England. Gold, Fletcher and Scott Allen. He's a pretty tough. What about someone who played for Dundee United and Hibs, obviously, and also a team in South Africa, but now plays for Dundee?
Simon Murray,
well done. Tricky one, this. I'm thinking maybe the end of your... Did he get in the old Scotland squad? He started his career at Livy, I think. Maybe went down...
Mark McNulty,
well done. And this is a tough one. Dundee United and Hibs and played for Dundalk. Where did I see him? Like, who's he signed for this season? Oh, it's just dropped out of my head.
Initials. We're great at initials.
S.
Stephen.
Is it Wraith actually? Or did he play for? I can't. For some reason, Stevenson. I'm blank. Sam Stanton.
Stanton.
Anyway, right. Thank you, Gordon DL and Stephen Naismith. That painless enough for you? Enjoy that.
Really enjoyable 2 hours. Learned a lot for the man to my left.
Good. We'll have you back. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday. We'll speak to you tomorrow at 6 o'clock.